Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Give Us a King. Apparently, Satan does not want you to hear it. I just recorded this video podcast once, and then after I got through and thought that it came out really good, it had no sound because I forgot to turn the microphone on. So, let's try this again. My message is from 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and shew them the manner of king that shall reign over them. In other words, protest a little bit, go ahead and give them a king, but tell them first what they're getting. It's not going to be what they think. I was in prayer recently. And I was just, you know, talking to the Lord about some stuff and thinking ahead to what's coming. Because since I moved to the larger house, y'all, I've never seen acceleration like what I'm seeing. I've never seen anything like this. It's boom, 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 one thing after another. God is putting something new together that I can't describe because I don't know yet what it is. But it's at a high rate of speed. And I was looking back over things that had been. And I was talking to the Lord about people that think they're hearing from Him that are not, because I've done that before. You know, they say that there are three voices that we hear. One is the voice of the Lord. One is the voice of our flesh, who just wants what it wants. And one is the voice of Satan. And they all three sound very similar. So it takes a lot of experience, a lot of the Word of God, and a lot of prayer to learn which one is God and know every time. So I was thinking back to when I married Jerry, which was about 5 years ago now, close to 5 years. And how I messed up so bad on that. And the Lord showed me something I'd never seen before. Recently in a podcast, I compared myself to Balaam. And when I saw what God was showing me, I realized that I'd been far more like Balaam than I ever knew. So I want to tell you this story. Let me read you the story of Balaam for the people who don't know. It's in Numbers 22. This is the story of Balaam. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, in Pethor, I don't know how you say that, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. Divination is a sin. With the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. They brought treasures with them to pay Balaam to divine for them. Divining is like gazing into a crystal ball. It's New Age and it's wrong. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Because they were God's people. Okay. If you have followed my blog for very long, then you know that I first knew Jerry, the husband that I divorced last year, the end of August, in about 2002. Jerry and I pen palled for a long time, like, I don't know, a year, year and a half, something like that. And then he was released from jail. And he was in Ohio, I was in Texas. And he would call me on the phone once or twice a week, not that much. We would occasionally Skype where we could see each other and talk after he got out. And he had said before he got out that he was going to come to Texas. You know, because, of course, we wanted to get married. We wanted to be together. And so one day he calls me. We've been talking on the phone, I don't know, maybe a month after he got out. And he calls me and we're talking and he said, I'm going to go down here to my dad's house and I'm going to ask my dad for the money to fly to Texas. He said, I know my dad will give it to me. I said, okay. And he said, I'll call you back and tell you when I'm coming in. I said, okay. And after I got off the phone, I was praying and I said, Lord, yeah, I was still pretty new in the walk. I said, I didn't know very much of the word. And I said, Lord, is this your will? Is this your will for me and Jerry to be together? Because I don't want it if it's not your will. And because it all of a sudden became very real. When you're just writing letters with somebody, it's one thing. But when they're going to show up on your doorstep, it's quite another. And you need to be sure. So I prayed for a little while and then I said, Lord, I was waiting for Jerry to call me back. And I said, Lord, I was in complete faith when I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I want you to do your will in this relationship. I don't know if it's your will for us to be together or it's not. So I'm asking you to cause your will to be done in the relationship between Jerry and I. I said, well, leave it in your hands. So I left it in God's hands. Jerry never called me back. So I was like, okay, I guess it was not God's will for us to be together. And so I just did my best to go on with my life. I was pretty devastated. I moped for a while. Or I grieved over it. I didn't mope, but I grieved over it. I moved not long after that from where I was to another city and, you know, just did the best I could to move on. So this means that I should never again have prayed and said, Lord, is it your will for me and Jerry to get married? Like I did in 2012. When I did that, I was acting like Balaam. Those of you who know the story of Balaam, I'm going to tell a little bit of it for the newer Christians who don't know it yet. Balaam kept going back to God. The king of the Moabites, Zippor, kept sending more honorable princes, higher and higher ranking princes, to Balaam in big and bigger offers of money, saying, curse the people for me, curse the people for me. Come and go with me, curse the people for me. And God had already said, you're not going with him and you're not cursing the people. You're not going to do that. I'm telling you not to do that. Well, God had already showed me, I don't want you to be with Jerry. I forgot about that, of course, and I did forget about it, but that doesn't make it okay. I should not have forgotten that. And when you get caught up in romance, you do forget stuff, but that's no excuse. I should never have prayed again and said, Lord, is it your will? Because God had already clearly shown me what his will was when he caused Jerry never to call me back again. He did his will that day. That was his will. End of conversation. That subject should have been closed in my life. I was the one who opened back up and said, Lord, you know, I've been believing for a husband for a long time and I think he might be it. You know, is he supposed to be, is this my husband? Am I supposed to say yes? Because he had proposed to me. And I wasn't supposed to say yes. But I kept going back to God with that, waiting to hear an answer. God didn't say, no, I already told you. God won't say, no, I already told you. God will not answer when he has already told you. Or when he has already told you in the word, he will not answer. Here's the deal. I was divorced. I had a living mate when Jerry and I were together before. I was absolutely outside of his will, even asking for a husband. Because I was raised to believe that it is a sin. And the Bible says if you believe something's a sin for you, then it's a sin. I was raised to believe and do believe that it is a sin to remarry if you have a living mate. So I should never have asked the question in the first place. I should never have asked for a husband. But I did. And so let me move on with the story so I don't get off into a rabbit trail. I had acted just like Balaam. The Lord had made his answer very clear to me. And I think in 2012, I remember thinking, well, maybe it wasn't God's will then for us to be together. Maybe it's God's will now. So I did eventually remember that God had showed me it wasn't his will. Maybe it's God's will now. Maybe he's more matured. I'm more, you know, you have all these excuses why you tell yourself why something should be God's will. Okay, when we keep going back to God and asking and over and over and over, petitioning, if he is not answering, number one, we need to ask, why isn't he answering me? Why are you not answering me, Lord? Why are you not, you know, we should go back. We should go first to the word. Is there something in the word that tells me the answer already? And then number two, we need to think back. Have I ever asked God this question before? Has he already answered me and I'm missing the answer somehow? When we keep going back, we are in idolatry. We are idolizing something and God is not telling us that that is his will for us. And we are idolizing it. So we're going back again and again and again. And we're pestering God, basically. It's okay to pray repeatedly. But if you're not getting an answer and you're believing in faith to get an answer, you should be getting an answer one way or the other. If you're not getting one, you need to ask yourself why you're not getting one. And this is just something I've learned over the years, y'all, is that times past when I've prayed and asked God something, if he has already answered my question in the word, if he's already shown me his will in the word, or if he's shown me at another time, like in this instance, then he won't say anything. He'll just be silent. Isaiah 44, starting in verse 17. This is just 17 and 18. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. It's talking about making molten images. That's what they did back then. Even his graven image. He falleth down into it and worshipeth it and pray unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. I took this and I made it a god. And I said, oh, I'm going to worship you. Deliver me. Come on, take care of me. You're my God. That's what they would do with these little statues. That's what we do with spouses we aren't supposed to have. We make our idols in our mind. I call it building sandcastles. This is what I called it for years. You meet somebody and all of a sudden you're building the castle that you're going to live in your head, you know, and you're putting all the stuff there for the dream, you know, and all that. We build idols in our minds. Y'all know it's true. And we build our idols in our out of our fantasies of what it's going to be like if we can be with that person. Okay? They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. If you are in idolatry, chances are people around you will come to you and go, that ain't going to work, that's a bad deal, or that's sin, or you're not supposed to do it. And you will say, no, it's not. No, it's not. You don't know us. You will say something to them like that because your heart has been closed off so you can't understand and your eyes have been closed. Okay? Because you're in idolatry. And they will not open again until you go to the Lord in repentance. Ezekiel 14:4, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, that's what we do, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to a multitude of his idols. That means that if you have idols in your heart, and you go to a prophet to get an answer, you will get a wrong answer, because God is answering your idols, not you. But you won't know the difference. when I kept begging the Lord for a husband, because I longed for companionship, because I thought being married would make my life a little bit easier. Y'all, when you're single, you have to figure everything out by yourself. Okay, I mean, yes, you have the Lord, but you have to do all the heavy lifting yourself. You have to handle every crisis by yourself. Being married isn't all roses, and being single isn't all roses either. They both have their drawbacks. Let me tell y'all something that I just discovered this week. And y'all know that I've talked about idolatry many times on the podcast and in the videos. In the Bible, right where God talks about being unequally yoked, he goes right into idolatry right after it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Talking about spiritual light and spiritual darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God, we're the temple, with idols? It could not be more clear. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If wrong relationships are not idolatry, and being unequally yoked was not idolatry, it would not be together in the Bible. I'm just saying. I was like the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Give us a king. Give me a king. Give me somebody, Lord, that I can talk to down here. Somebody that can help me. What I was saying in effect was, you're not good enough, Lord. I need another husband. I don't feel secure with just you, Jesus. You're not enough by yourself. Can you say lack of faith? Is it any wonder? You know, one of the things that God told Samuel to tell them was, tell them what a king's going to do. Tell them that they're not getting what they think they're getting. When they ask for a king, they're not going to get what they think they're going to get. What they got was somebody that would take their daughters and take their sons and make wars and do all this other stuff. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting in verse 9, there's a whole page of things that he said. He'll take a tenth of your sheep, he'll take your best vineyards and your best olive yards, and he'll give them to his servants and all of this stuff, and your sons will run before his chariots. We don't get what we think we're going to get when we're in idolatry, do we? You get married, you think you're getting happily ever after. I was never happier than when I married Jerry. For about 3 weeks, I was absolutely, felt like I was on cloud nine. The cloud's gone. So, when I was petitioning God for a husband that I shouldn't have, I was doing the same thing that they did. And if you are petitioning God for a spouse and begging him over and over and over, you're doing the same thing. Even if you're eligible to remarry where I wasn't, even if you are eligible, biblically eligible to remarry, and it wouldn't be sin for you for whatever reason, if you keep going back and going back and going back and he's not answering you, there is a reason why he's not answering you. Is it any wonder why some of us got what we got when we got into idolatrous relationships? I think it's not. I think it's a wonder that we didn't get worse. I know for me, it's a wonder I didn't get worse. I should have known better. So, if you find yourself today begging for a spouse, stop it. Stop. Stop and repent. And tell the Lord that he is enough. And tell him, you know, that you know Psalm 25:3, that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed, and you're going to turn the whole thing over to him. Lord, if it's your will, you do it. If it's not your will, I don't care. Show me how to be happy in this life without a spouse. Whatever. Give me enough provision, whatever it is you need. And then leave it there. Don't go back to him and say, Lord, I met this guy at work. Is he the one? You know, don't do that, y'all. Come on. We got to stop asking God for stuff we shouldn't have. And if you will turn it over to him and trust him to cause his will to be done, then you have a greater chance of not getting into idolatry and getting in trouble like I did. What happened to me was not an isolated incident, y'all. This is happening to people all over the place. I don't even know how many people I know right now that are begging God for a spouse. And as far as being unequally yoked can be believing different ways. It can be like me. I'd been in the walk a real long time, and I won't say I was totally mature. Obviously, I wasn't, but I was far more mature than the man I married. He'd been saved about 5 minutes, and you know, you got a big disparity between the two like that, and you don't agree on stuff. You don't see eye to eye on stuff. And that, when you are living together, we'd never lived together. We never did live together. But when you are living together, that can really make for a contentious relationship. If you have already entered into an idolatrous marriage, or you think you have, and if you can tell, I mean, you can tell. If you're unequally yoked, and nobody has to tell you you're unequally yoked, you know every minute of every day that you are. And y'all know what I'm talking about. If you are already in a marriage that you suspect you got into idolatry, entering into, what I would recommend is that you go to the Lord and you pray what I prayed after I got off the phone that day with Jerry. Lord, I'm asking, I think I might be in idolatry. I'm repenting. If I am in idolatry, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm repenting. And I just want to serve you and do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm asking you to cause your will to be done in this marriage. Whatever that is, Lord, I'm asking you to do it. And then take your hands off of it. Don't try to help him. God is God all by himself. He don't need your help. He didn't need my help. Just ask him to do it and let him do it. Anytime you think you're in a wrong situation or wrong relationship, you can pray that way. God is happy to do his will, but he will not override your will in a situation. As with everything, test the spirits. Everything that I say, y'all should be testing the spirits, because the Bible tells us to test the spirits. I give all glory to God for this message, for this revelation, because he gave it all to me. I didn't get any of it on my own. He gave it to me. But I hope that it has helped you. Let me tell y'all one more thing. When the people cried for a king in 1 Samuel 8, I looked up that word king, and that word king comes from a root word that means someone to consult. Now, if we know God, we should be consulting God. Is that not right? We should be consulting God, and God's more than enough, is he not? He can give you a far wiser answer than anybody on this earth can give you about anything. So when we say, Lord, give me a husband, give me a wife, give me this, give me that, we are asking him for someone to consult other than him. It's a lot easier to see why it upset him once you know that, I think. When I saw that, I was like, well, no wonder he gets so upset when we say that. You know, we keep begging for a spouse and this and that. Y'all, this is dangerous territory. I'm telling you, it is dangerous territory. The other reason is because the Lord said on, let me pull up this word, Thursday, June 22nd, 2017, just this last week, he gave me a word called unbelieving spouses. And he said that he was going to move a lot of people out of marriages where they had been tied to unbelieving spouses. He was going to move them where they had been tied into their callings. And he said, don't be afraid, and don't be afraid when I harden their hearts against you. When he hardens their hearts against you, they will leave you or they will boot you out the door. Okay? Either way, it's still his will is what he's saying. He says, unbelieving spouses will become your enemies in what is coming. He's talking about the very end of the end times. And will quickly turn you over to authorities for your beliefs in a time when the price for declaring my name will be death by torture. I asked him 3 times, Lord, did you say by torture? Was that you? And he answered, yes, that's what I said. That's when I was like, okay. So, this is very serious, y'all. This is, I mean, what's coming now. What's now is hard enough, but what's coming is far worse. And it's going to be hard enough to navigate it without having somebody in your life who's not a believer. They're not going to have any idea how to navigate this. And the way an unbeliever navigates trouble and the way a believer navigates trouble are completely polar opposites. They're completely different. You're going to be operating in faith. They're going to be operating in the natural because that's all they know. They don't have it. They don't have a way to understand the spiritual unless they get saved. And, you know, there are people that say, oh, well, they're an unbeliever. I'm going to marry them because they'll get saved later. Not always. They don't always get saved later. They just hang around and make your life miserable. Don't do that. If you are not on the same plane spiritually, don't even bother with it. Satan is trapping a lot of believers right now in wrong relationships because it is human nature not to want to be alone. God created us to want to be together. It is human nature to want someone to love you. That's just in our nature. But the wrong someone is not helpful. And only the Lord knows who the right someone is. We don't have time for getting into wrong relationships. You don't want your life risked when the chips are down, when the mark comes out, when all the stuff is going down. You don't want your life at risk by someone in your own household, do you? I'm going to leave you with that. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you. I know a lot of people pray and believe for spouses. Even godly spouses are not perfect, y'all. And there's problems. And you don't need any more problems with what's coming. You don't need any more problems now. So, I would encourage you to pray very diligently in this area. And if you are in an idolatrous relationship, to pray about that. If you have been asking God for a spouse and begging and pleading for a spouse, you need to go to God and repent because that's idolatry when you keep going. If he's not answered you yet, pray it once, leave it in his hands, walk away. Don't pray about it again. Leave it alone and let him do whatever his will is. You may never get one, but you may be better off that you didn't. Thanks for watching and listening. I hope that y'all have a really blessed week. Jesus bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.